Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
It's good to be in God's house. My name is Pastor Patrick Donahue, and as always, it's a privilege and an honor to be with you here tonight and to get to encourage and hopefully uplift you tonight a little bit. And Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse, they send their love. I know Jared was up here just talking about all of the Christmas and December festivities that we've got going on in the church. Definitely grab one of those cards on your way out so you can be reminded of what's coming up and when, and so you can also use those to invite people. And so GLOW for us is coming up, our big Christmas service and big Christmas production. It's coming up, I think, on December the 16th. And GLOW in Amarillo for our Amarillo campus, it starts tonight. So Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse are there. They kick off tonight and I think through Sunday night doing that. I know my wife Tiffany, she's out there. Holly, another girl on staff, they're out there helping with that production. And so we're believing for a good start to that tonight. Pray for them. The worship leader out there, his wife is pregnant. She went into labor today. And so we're believing that it's still going to be an amazing service out there tonight and every night that they have it. And again, Pastor Brian and Jesse, they send you their love. And I'm glad to be in God's house. Anybody else glad to be in God's house? I am. And so the other day, as always, anytime I teach or anything like that, Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse, they're very good encouragers on how to help when, you know, you're young, learning how to prepare a message and anything like that. They're like, you know, preach out of the overflow of your heart. What's on your heart? Don't try to come up with something out of left field. What's already on your heart? And so I have the privilege of helping lead some of the morning prayer sessions that we do online on Facebook. If you don't know, we do Monday through Friday. Every Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. we get on Facebook and we have a virtual corporate prayer. And I'd love for you to be a part of that every Monday through Friday at 6:30 right there on Facebook. And I had the privilege of doing it the other day. Mondays are usually my day, and I did a couple of days, Monday and Tuesday. I can't remember what day it was, but I was talking about this song that I'd heard recently. It's really popular. I think it's Chris Tomlin. If it's not, it's always a good guess because he sings everything. It's something like, it's a really short line. It says something like, I may feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I may feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And I was talking about that a little bit on morning prayer, but that song really got in my spirit really the rest of the day. And I started kind of just having that in my spirit, singing that, confessing that. And so much so, I really got to a place where I was mentally like thinking and projecting what it's like to feel like you're surrounded. Because that's a pretty common feeling, right? I think we could all relate to that at some point or another. We feel like sometimes in life we get surrounded. But the truth of the matter is we're really surrounded by Him. And I was thinking about Amarillo because I knew Tiffany was getting ready to go on this trip. And I had the privilege of visiting our Amarillo campus for the first time about a year ago. And just seeing the landscape out in Amarillo, it's totally different, at least that part of Texas, West Texas. I haven't really been to much other parts of Texas, but it's like it's super flat. Like you go to a four-way stop and you can see forever in every direction. A lot different than here. I know we've got crop fields that you can maybe go a few fields where you can see some distance, but eventually you get those rolling hills of Kentucky. And it's beautiful here and it's beautiful there. It's just very, very different. So in my mind, I'm singing this song. I feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And I'm picturing myself in Amarillo and what it's like to be surrounded if I was in Amarillo, this flat area, and mountains just drop down on all sides of me. So that's like my mental projection, my mental image of kind of when I'm singing this. And again, I think it's something that we can all relate to, being surrounded. You know, and because mountains, they can come in all shapes and sizes, right? There can be a mountain, a hurdle that you're trying to overcome that's a relational mountain, a physical mountain, a financial mountain, a spiritual battle. They come in all shapes and sizes. And they come from different sources, too. Sometimes we have self-inflicted mountains. Sometimes we get a mountain in front of us because we live in a fallen world, and fallen world things happen. Sometimes we have a mountain in front of us because we have an enemy who has an agenda for us that's the opposite of the agenda of God, right? And so, I started thinking about mountains and really what the purpose of a mountain is as far as the enemy is concerned, when we talk about overcoming mountains and moving mountains and casting mountains into the sea, right? It's opposition. And so what that opposition is trying to keep us from, and why we need to overcome it, and why it's so important. So I titled the message tonight, Moving Mountains, Moving Mountains. And so the first thing I see that a mountain it tries to keep us from is a mountain it tries to keep us from people. Do you know that people matter? Look at the person sitting next to you, say, you matter. Look at the person you didn't want to talk to, say, you matter, you kind of matter. No, I'm just playing. Everybody matters, right? And why is that? It's because we're children of God, right? He's not a respecter of persons. Christ went to the cross, and he died for all. Not for, the super wealthy, not for the super cool, not for anybody in any inner circles. He died for all, so we could all know him. So everybody matters to God. People matter. You matter. And so mountains, though, they try to keep us from people. They get that isolation, and they try to keep us from people. But you think about, blessings when they come in your life. Usually they come in the form and in the vessel of a person. God's going to bless you. You're believing through a breakthrough. He's usually going to send a person or a group of people to you to bless you, to help you overcome that mountain, whatever it is. So people are vessels of blessing. People matter. That's why it's good to be near people, around people. You think of a couple of easy scriptures that talk about that. Iron sharpens iron. We can't sharpen ourselves, right? Iron sharpens iron. I need to be near people, close to people, doing life with people, to be sharpened myself, and so I can sharpen other people. Bible talks about there's power in it, right? If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So I can do so much on my own, but if I'll combine my faith and my belief and my effort with someone else, maybe a whole church, imagine what we could do together, right? So there's exponential power in being around other people, other believers, other people joining in your faith, moving with one goal, one direction. So people matter. And I love and being around people and having friends, it matters. And I love there's a portion of scripture in John 15. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, anybody that's taking notes, John 15, verses 12 through 15, and it just reads like this. And this is Jesus expressing himself as a friend, describing what a friend actually is. John 15, 12 through 15, verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father, he may give it to you. These things I command to you so that you will love one another." Several really interesting things when you talk about the idea of people and wanting to be friends and the importance of being friends with people. Several interesting things I find in that portion of scripture. First thing, obviously, it foreshadows a little bit about what he's going to do for us on the cross. No greater love can one show than if you lay down your life for another. He's foreshadowing, his taking our place on the cross. No greater love can someone show someone else than to just be willing to lay everything down for someone else. And you can lay down things differently in different ways, right? Christ, he literally laid his life down. You can lay your life down in different ways, different versions for the people around you. You can lay down your preferences, right? Saturday afternoon, my preference is to watch college football until they stop broadcasting. That's what I love to do. But maybe sometimes it's good to lay down my preferences and spend time with my kids, right? Now, spend time with my wife, spend time with friends, and go and be available to do life with other people. We can lay down our preferences. We can lay down our time, make time for people. Second thing I see right in there is that I love where Jesus, he makes a distinction and a declaration all at one time. He makes a distinction and a declaration just really right there together. He makes a distinction on what a friend is. He says, hey, you're a friend to me if you'll follow my command. And my command to you is to love everybody else just like I've loved you. Love everybody else like I've loved you, then you'll be a friend to me. So that's what a friend is. And he immediately follows that up with making a declaration. And just so you know, I am your friend. So he's already made the decision and made the choice. He's saying, hey, look, I just want you to know that's what a friend is. But just so we're clear, I am your friend. And he goes on to say that just so you know, I chose you, right? You didn't have a say in this. I chose you. I came and made the first step toward you. I chose to be your friend before you even knew me. So this is what a friend is. And just so you know, I chose you and I chose to be your friend. And it's really, it's two-sided, right? And it's got to be two-sided. That's how friendship works. It doesn't, it's not enough just for Jesus to say, I am your friend. But we in turn have to say, you know what? I choose to be your friend. I could claim all day long, hey, I'm best friends with LeBron James, but unless we're actually friends, it's just me talking, right? LeBron James has to call me up and say, hey, look, Patrick, I saw you on Facebook last week dancing back in the kids. You're the coolest guy. No, I want to be your best friend. You know, he hadn't said that yet, so we're not best friends. Until then, it's just me just talking to talk, right? So it's two-sided. Same thing with our Lord. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus says, hey, look, I want you to know I've chosen to be your friend, but you can be my friend, but this is what you have to do. You have to obey my command. And again, my command is to go and to love people like you have loved. And so I feel like in talking about mountains and being separated and isolated from people, that's why it's so important that we keep those relationships, that we pursue those relationships. You know, Jesus, he's the perfect expression of God the Father in heaven, right? And so we should, if we're going to emulate anybody, let's emulate Jesus. And so how did he handle the issue of friendship? Again, he took the first step. He said, I chose you. I think God would have us take that first step toward people, right? I know he does. There's another scripture that backs that up. It says, if you want friends, what should you do? Be a friend or show yourself friendly, right? Take that first step. Jesus said, I chose you. Follow like I did. Take that first step. Be a friend to somebody. And so if you find yourself in this place where you're facing a mountain and you just feel like you want to retract a little bit and get away from people a little bit, that's the opposite thing of what you want to do, right? But God said, let's do the opposite. Let's take a step toward people. Let's pursue people because people matter, because they'll sharpen you and you'll sharpen them. And here's the thing too about isolation. When you start to withdraw from people, you get focused too much on that mountain. You begin to withdraw from people bit by bit, little by little, relationship by relationship. You find yourself in an isolated place. If you look on any National Geographic episode of anything ever, the pack of wolves, the group of lions, what do they always go after, right? The loner. It might be maimed, it might be older, it might be weak, but the main thing is it's isolated. When you're isolated, you're a prime target for even more mountains to come at you, for even more attacks to come at you. So even though the temptation might be there in the natural, hey, look, this mountain's there, these issues are there, this topic's there, I'm dealing with this, and I just don't have time for people in my life right now. I promise you that's not the answer. God wants you to take that first step, be the initiator, and go pursue somebody. And here's the thing about, again, it's iron sharpens iron, right? So maybe you get focused on your mountain and it's like, well, I don't have time for people right now because I've got this mountain I've got to deal with. But maybe the person sitting next to you tonight, maybe they've got a mountain too. And maybe they need you to step into their life and encourage them and lift them up and help them up. Chris Geary. Is Chris Geary in here? He has an amazing, amazing testimony. I'll let him share from stage one time, whenever he gets a chance to, but has an amazing testimony about being obedient to God, and when he acted out in that obedience with someone, encouraged someone, how it blessed him and it blessed that person, and he didn't even know what that person was going through, just being obedient. I believe if we'll just be obedient and be a friend, be available, and be there to encourage other people, the Bible says we'll have friends, and I believe it'll be easier to get our eyes off that mountain and to not be discouraged. So don't let that mountain keep you from people. That's the first thing I see that mountains try to do. Second things I see that mountains try to do is they try to keep us from having vision. They try to keep us from having vision. You hear the term tunnel vision, right? It's easy when you get that mountain, that issue, that topic in your life, just to focus on that thing. Man, that doctor's report is really weighing on me. Man, that financial statement is really, it's breathing down my neck. I don't know what we're going to do. Man, this relationship, man, we really need help. I don't know what we're going to do here. Man, this spiritual battle I'm going through, man, it's all I can think about. I go to bed dealing with it. I wake up dealing with it. It's all consuming my life right now. And if we're not careful, we'll get so focused on that, that's all we see. We get this tunnel vision, this mountain vision. It's all we do or think about. And that's also a dangerous place to get. The Bible says where there's no vision, my people perish. If we just get so focused on the problem, that's all we begin to think about, just the problem, nothing else, no vision. And again, if we're not thinking about vision, man, that's going to lead us down a path where we perish. God doesn't want you to perish. In Romans 31, 8, 31, and 37 and 39, Romans 8, 31, 37, and 39, great scripture right here to encourage you. If God is for us, who can be against us? There's a mountain in front of you, no matter what it is. What mountain can be against you? Verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so there's nothing, there's no mountain, there's no version of a mountain. Again, whether it's self-inflicted, whether it comes from our enemy, whether it comes from a fallen world, there's no version of any mountain that can stand before you, that can separate you from the goodness of God and what God has in store for you. So if you begin to think about those things, it's easier to keep your vision where it needs to be instead of just focusing on the problem. I love in that portion of scripture too, what it talks about, nor things present, nor things to come. I'm glad that in there, it doesn't even talk about things in the past. God says, I'm not even going to mention it because it's not even worth mentioning because you don't need to worry about your past. I also think that's something very common that people struggle with. I think that's a very common mountain people like to bring up because it's like, well, that was yesterday or years ago, a lifetime ago, a season in life ago, but this bad decision, I just keep it in front of me. I just keep thinking about it. I keep thinking about those bad decisions or that bad decision I made or that bad relationship or that bad whatever it is, right? And I like to drag that in front of me and just focus on that. And that's all, it's all consuming my vision. But let me encourage you today. There's a worldly saying out there that says, you know, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. I always have to really just drag that thing with me. That's not what the Bible says. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's why I talk about it all the time. Again, because I feel like it's a common thing that people struggle with. And it's out of Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. It says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, God wants you to move forward in life. And to do that, we've got to have the right kind of vision. We can't be focused on the mountain. Focused on the mountain keeps us still. And that's at best, it keeps us still. A lot of times, again, it wants to make us retract, right? And so we got to keep moving with the right kind of vision. And because mountains try to steal vision out of your life. They try to steal people out of your life. And we need the right kind of vision Because vision leads us to our destination. And I think that's the last thing I'll talk about tonight that mountains try to keep us from. They try to keep us from our destination. They act as a barricade between where we are and where God wants us to be. I look in several scriptures I'll encourage you with here in just a second. And these are really, I wrote down several because they're promises of God. God wants you in a place. What's your destination? It's like, Patrick, what is my destination? Your destination is to be in a place where you are wrapped and clothed and engulfed in the promises of God. So saturated in it that you live it, you own it, you walk in it, your countenance carries it. Everything about you exudes these promises. And so I want to confess promises that are meant for you. Somebody say they're meant for me. I want you to receive those today. And I've got several that I'm going to read. And so instead of you just looking at me as I read through these, just take a second, a little bit different, but just take a second right where you are. And as I read these, I want you to just close your eyes and really concentrate on these. And I want you to receive these scriptures and these promises of God over you, over your life. And I'm believing that mountains are going to be moved tonight as we receive these truths about us. And they're not just true tonight, and they're not just true because you're facing a mountain. They're true in good times and in bad. They're true all the days of our life, right? These words are eternal. So receive this encouragement tonight as we focus on where God wants us to be, what His destination for us is. And His destination is good. And in Jeremiah it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." We don't have to fear. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. You do not fear or be dismayed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Speaking of eagles, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and won't grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint." He's a God who draws near to the brokenhearted. He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. He's a provider, and "My God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. If you need wisdom in your life, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. You need freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You can be set free today. If you need peace, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which transcends every mountain that might be in front of you, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. My covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on us. He's a stronghold of protection. The Lord is my stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. No weapon formed against me will prosper. When I pass through the waters, you will be with me, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm me. When I walk through the fire, I will not be burned. The flame shall not consume me. In Ephesians it says, "For this reason, for all of these reasons, all of these promises, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power in His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, now being rooted and grounded in love," rooted and grounded in all of these promises of God, "may have strength to comprehend, to take hold that with all the saints, that is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than we could ever ask or think or imagine, according to the power at work now within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm facing a mountain right now, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it really does overflow, and surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is your destination, the house of the Lord, the promises of God, to be engulfed and encamped and wrapped up in that, where it's not just something you say, it's not just something you hear, it's something you live, not just on Sundays or Wednesday nights, but every single day, to dwell in the goodness of God and the promises of God while we're on earth, and then to dwell in the house of the Lord for eternity. I'm telling you, mountains, they try to keep you from people, but don't let them. Mountains might try to keep you from having the right kind of vision, but don't let it. Mountains might try to keep you from your destination, but I promise you, God has people he wants to send in your life and you to be in their life to help them have vision, so that you can have vision, so that you can be in the destination God has for you, and it's in the house of the Lord. He wants us to dwell there forever. And I hope you are encouraged by that tonight. And we're just going to take a second before we leave. If you want, you can just stand your feet. And right where you're standing, if maybe you're in here tonight and there's a mountain that you're dealing with, it's a financial mountain, it's a physical mountain, it's a spiritual mountain, it's a relational mountain, but there's something in that's going on in your life that's surrounded you, I want to encourage you tonight that thing is not the end of you. It's not the definition of you. All of those promises of God, that's the definition, and that's the destination that God has for you. And if that's you tonight, I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to do anything like that. But just right where you're standing, if that's you, and you want us to join our faith together and believe there's a mountain going to be moved in your life, you need a mountain moved, just go ahead and lift your hand. Let's join our faith together. Again, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Let's join our faith together as one church and believe God's going to move in these situations. Mountains are going to be removed. We're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And if you're by somebody that's got their hand raised, you can just pray with them. Put your hand on their shoulder or stretch your hand toward them. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters, and let's pray and believe mountains are going to be moved tonight. Let's pray. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, and that no mountain is going to keep us from the goodness of God. No mountain is going to keep us from the people of God you want to bless us with and you want us to bless. No mountain is going to keep us from having the right kind of vision. No mountain is going to keep us from our destination. We're going to hold on to the promises of God. We're going to live it out. We're going to walk it out. We're going to talk it out. And I thank you, Father, that mountains are being removed even now. We get our eyes off of the mountain and onto the promises of God. And as we do that, we see signs, we see wonders, we see miracles. I thank you, Lord, we see breakthrough. I thank you, Lord, where it just seemed insurmountable before, I thank you, Lord, it comes with ease. I thank you, Lord, the solution, the answer, it comes with ease. I thank you, Lord, that you are in the restoration business, in the business of putting things back together to their original intent. And so I thank you, Lord, that people are being restored relationally. People are being restored mentally. People are being restored spiritually, Father God. People are being restored physically. I thank you, Lord, you specialize in restoration. I thank you, Lord, restoration is happening now as mountains are being removed and we walk into our calling, we walk into our purpose, we find our destination. And again, that's rooted and grounded in the promises of God, so we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You're a good God, Father. We say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We receive this breakthrough. We receive blessing. We receive signs, wonders, and miracles now. We thank you, Lord, for it. We give you all the glory because it is rightly yours. We thank you for all of these things in the matchless name, in the powerful name, and the one and only name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for these things now. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen.